God is good. He's a source of peace. Even when things don't go good, He is good. Amen? When things don't go the way you think they would or would like them to be, He's still good. He's still good. He still brings peace. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Peace. Peace. Do you have peace in your life? Joy? Peace? Go to, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. We'll start there because whenever I think of peace or the lack thereof, I think of poor little Martha. Martha and what I call the Martha syndrome. In Luke chapter 10, in this small little portion of scripture, there's just five verses, but there's so much there. We're not going to camp there. We're just launching from there. But consider again the story, the situation, the difference between one sister and another. I mean, that could be told. That's told over and over again, the difference between one Christian and another. Just because you know Christ as Savior doesn't mean you experience the peace of God in your life every day. You may be miserable. It's not Jesus' fault. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that that's Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In other words, she was listening to him. And there's a difference. There's a difference. If you're listening to him, if you're not listening to him, no peace. No peace. Or it's just temporary. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so she's burdened. Today we'd call it stressed out. She came to him, to Jesus. Well, I'll give her that much. She went to the right source. But she didn't go for the right reason. Look, said, Lord, dost thou not care? There, challenge the God of the universe. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Bid her therefore that she help me. All right, so now she comes to Jesus and says, don't you care? Then she tells him what to do. You don't do that. It's never good to tell God what to do. God pretty much has it figured out. Amen? You don't tell God this is what you need to do. But yet, we may find that sometimes we do. Because we have a way to fix this issue. Fix that issue. Now, God, if you'll just do this, and that's what I'm praying for, that you'll do what I have determined will fix this. See? Or do that. Do that. See? Yeah. We're doing what Martha would do. We're prescribing the solution. Well, God knows the solution. You just take your burden, your cares to him. Allow him to fix it. He knows what's best. Always praying within the will of God. If this is your will, Lord. You see. So, does that not care? Well, yes, he does care. You know how I know it? He hung on the cross for you, Martha. I'm being harsh to Martha. It could be me there, right? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I really believe that's the way he said it. It's endearing. It's full of compassion. She's stressed out. He knows it. He doesn't take her to task particularly for charging him with having no care and the fact that she was telling him what to do, how to fix this issue of hers. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That doesn't mean of being anxious, stressed out, and troubled about many things. You got a lot of things going on there, you know. And he knows if the spoon fell onto the floor, have to wash a new one. If the bowl was too small, have to go to another bowl. He knew everything's going on in that kitchen. He knew. And many things troubling her. And one of them is that she doesn't have Mary's hands with her in the kitchen. 42, but one thing is needful. Now, but again is a very short word, but a very powerful word. He's addressed her situation. He says, but one thing is needful. Here is the solution. not the same one you had. Your solution was for me to get onto your sister. Like that's going to fix it. See? And then there'll be two people stressed out in that kitchen because you let her have it. Where were you? I needed you. Get this, get that. You see? No, your solution isn't good, but I got a good solution. One thing is needful, and your sister knows it. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was that that she had? Well, she had me, Jesus said. She had peace. She was sitting there listening to my words, you see. That is the solution. That is where you find peace. It's with me. It's not our solutions. We need peace. Tired of being stressed out? Spend some time in the book. Spend some time with Jesus. He's the source of all peace. That's what he's telling her. Now, of course, others have chosen another path. Do you know that stressed, and I never knew that, just 2-3 years ago, spelled backwards, you know what that is? Desserts. I think that's a good source of peace. I think next week we'll be looking for desserts. And it'll relieve me of all my stress. I'm counting on you, gals. You're going to come through. I know you will. You always do. Stress. Some people deny it. No, I'm not stressed. I'm a Christian. I'm not stressed. I'm not stressed. I said, I'm not stressed. I'm not tense, just terribly, terribly alert. Guy at work on the phone says, I can't worry about that now. I'm worrying about something else. The gal after a day at work, well, that was a total waste of makeup. No peace. Stressed out. Here's some traits of the stress-prone Christian. Plans the day unrealistically. You got too much going on. You're not realistic in your plans. You're going over the top. First to arrive, last to leave. That can bring stress. If you're going to be that person, see? Now, I'm a firm believer in being early. To be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. I believe in being early when you got something to be there. But to have to be the first and then the last, that can be stressful. You got something more going on. If you're always in a hurry. If you're always in a hurry, you know anybody like that? Always in a hurry. Just doesn't take, this is Martha. A lot of these things apply to Martha. God recorded this about Martha for you and me. And he recorded it about Mary for you and me. People make no plans for relaxation. You know, that's part of the plan. God rested. He created everything in 6 days and then he rested. Resting, relaxation, it's part of a healthy life, you see. Working 7 days a week, you're going to be stressed out. Be hard to find any peace in that. People that feel guilty about doing anything other than work. You know, the workaholic. It's not good. You got to have time of rest, relaxation, time with family, time with others. People want peace. People need peace. For the believer, it's available. It's available every day, whatever the situation. Peace was available to Martha. And I think that Jesus was taking her down off the ledge. Calm down, Mary. You hear it in the words, Martha, Martha. Now, you're upset, but you know what you really need is spend time with me. Like your sister is. She's got peace. She's not cumbered about. She's not stressed out. She's not telling me what to do. She doesn't have all the solutions. She's listening to me. That's what we all need. In John chapter 14, you recall that this is shortly before he faces his own crucifixion. And he's with the disciples. And there was a very tenseness in the air And the disciples knew something was up. And he calms them. In John 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's talking to his disciples. Can I tell you, he's saying it to you too? He's saying it to me. He's saying it to Martha. He's saying it to all of us. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Directing our attention to him. Directing his disciples' attention to him. And that's, see, Mary had that going on. And he's telling Martha, you need to do what she's doing. Believe in me. Verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas, he had issues. Where? We don't know the way. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, in the very same chapter, drop down to verse 27. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." The world has all kinds of different solutions for peace. You know, it's this pill, it's that pill. It's yoga. All kinds of things the world will give you. Those are all temporary. I'm going down. That's as far as I can go. Because I can't come back up. Oh, the world has all kinds of solutions for peace in your life. Jesus plainly tells us he's the source. Martha, look at your sister. What is she doing? Well, she's listening to me. I am the source of peace. My disciples, I give you peace. Look, it continues, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." He said that the first verse of 14. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Martha, don't be so troubled. I give you peace. I am the source of all peace. Look at John 16, verse 33. Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I got the world taken care of. Don't you worry about the world. Come to me for peace. What's he say? "That in me ye might have peace." It's all about Jesus. You see, you foster your relationship with Jesus, there's peace to be had. And that takes time. I know we're all busy people. One might say we're all a bunch of Marthas. At times, we're so busy. So busy. But if we'll do what Jesus said, look at your sister. What's she doing? Well, she's chosen the right thing. She's chosen the good part. She's listening to me. So if you and I spend a little more time with the idea that he is the source of all joy, of all peace, then peace will be had throughout that day. Will traumas come? Oh, yeah. Circumstances? Oh, man. Buckle your seatbelt. But in the midst of all of it, Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll give you peace." It's always available for the Christian. I'm thankful for that. Go, if you would, to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Can he really give me peace in my life? You don't know what I'm facing right now. I got this, I got that, I'm on overload. I'm really stressed out. Can he really give me peace? I don't know. Is he powerful? Does he have the ability? Well, in Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse 35, we're told of this event that occurred. "And the same day when the even was come," that's evening, "he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side," and across the lake. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." So a little armada of sorts, crossing over. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship." They're not supposed to go in the ship. That's why you have sides to the ship. Keeps the waves out of the ship. Water in the ship is not supposed to be. "It beat into the ship so that it was now full." Now that's a problem. That's a problem. Has your boat been filled with water? Do you know what I'm talking about, what it's saying? This is a picture of what happened, that event, that day, but making application in your own life. Does the boat, does the wind blow and the waves are coming over and now your boat is full? This is a picture of Martha on that day. As far as she's concerned, she's going down. I mean, dinner is a wreck. If I don't get that sister mine, that lazy sister mine, it's always attacking others. If we don't have peace, it's because she said this, he did that, he was going to help, she said that she would do this, she didn't, and it's always somebody else. Your boat's full. There are times. Their boat was full of water. 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, pretty troubled. Apparently he was cumbered about. He wasn't too cumbered about, was he? No, he was in total peace. He's a source of peace. And notice it continues, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Now, in truth, wouldn't you and I have done the same thing? I would have. I'm in my humanity, I would have. The boat's not supposed to be full of water. We got a problem here, you see. And there's a little stress going on among all of us. But Jesus wasn't stressed out. Now, again, they went to the right source. And he arose. And, Master, carest not that we perish. Isn't it funny? We're on an overload that God bears some responsibility. Like don't you care? Don't you care that I lost my job? Don't you care that my car broke down? Don't you care that the dishwasher is out? The laundry's piling up because that washing machine is leaking all over the place. Don't you care? In our humanity, he puts up with us, doesn't he? Master, carest thou that we perish? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. These are some of the most exciting words in the whole Bible. The boat's full of water, but there's no more wind. There's no more rain. There's no more waves coming over the bow. All right, let's begin to shovel out the water. I guess we're going to be okay. Peace, be still. That's all he said. He's a master of the universe. And if you can tell a storm to stop and bring a perfect calm, he can do it in your life. I would say that probably most of us are pretty good at peace right now in your life. Sitting in the house of God, enjoying great preaching, great music, air conditioned, lovely day. We're not really so much carrying a, there could be some among us carrying a load, hiding it with a smile, going through something we don't know. God knows. Jesus knows. And he cares. If we go to him, like Mary did, there'll be peace to be had. He has all the solutions. If I'm in something right now, God has allowed it. God allowed that storm. God allowed the boat to be filled. See? For whatever reason. Sometimes the reason is a time of testing. Testing our faith. Testing our relationship, our communion with him. Maybe it's not what it ought to be. See? His hand's always out, but maybe we're not holding on to it. We find ourselves in a stressful situation and overwhelmed. Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? I'm in the boat. It's going to be okay. Christ lives within you, believer. He lives within me. There's nothing to fear. I don't care what the circumstances are. It's going to be okay. I can have peace in the most violent of storms in life. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, he's the God-man. He's the God-man. I'd like you to turn now to Philippians 4. And here is where we'll spend the rest of our time. Because in here are great verses towards this matter of peace and a calm. It's all about Jesus. Now, we see here in Philippians 4 three realms of peace. And we'll start with the first realm, and that's having peace with others. Socially. Sometimes it can be some of the biggest of battles. And people either verbalize, they got to blow out somebody else, or they got to talk about somebody else, or because they got issues with somebody, you see. Issues with people. And there's no peace ever in that. We talked about this morning how the Bible teaches us to have love for the brethren, love for the saints. See, if that's not in place, then things can arise. People are carnal, fleshly. We protect self, we get selfish. And in these first, I'll say five verses, we have a discussion or help towards having peace with others. So it's more of a horizontal plane. A horizontal plane. And let's read the verses, then we'll go back over. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. All men. So that's what we're talking about, our horizontal relationships, socially, peace to be had. And so each verse, and I'll pick out a little something here. Number one, endearment should be practiced. Notice how he talks to these brethren at Philippi. In verse 1, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for. I miss you. I care about you. You're dear to me, and I miss you. My joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved. You know, it's a good thing to say kind things to people. You know, if you'll say kind things to people and not the other things and challenging, like Martha did to Jesus, maybe it fosters a good relationship and peace. Maybe it can lead to reconciliation where the peace had left among brethren, among others. Endearment, kind words. I think it goes a long ways. Also, notice what they did regarding others. Number two, variance is called out. In verse 2, there's some divisions here. I beseech Eutychus, and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So apparently, they've not been in the same mind. They've got some friction going on. You see? There's discord among these two. And Paul is saying, I beseech this guy and I beseech that guy. I'm begging you two. Would you get together and reconcile? Get on the same page in the Lord. In the Lord. Divisions can erupt so quickly. They can erupt in a home. They can erupt in a church. Well, the devil likes to be at work in both those places in particular. Because it destroys evangelism. No one wants to talk about Jesus if they have no peace in their own life day to day. First, we'll come back there, of course, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians was a letter that Paul wrote in response to many issues going on in that early church in Corinth. They're having a lot of issues, and he addresses them. And would you believe, that's one of the issues that was there. Divisions. Notice verse 10. I'm in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, he's begging them again, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Let's have a little unity here. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Let's get on the same page. Let's love one another in Jesus. Let's put our carnality aside and be spiritual. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me, I've heard, I've been told of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. See, again, that can happen in homes. That can happen in the house of God. If we're not careful, God wants unity. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Do you notice one thing in particular among all those declarations? I, pride. For contentions come from, the Bible tells us, from pride. See, well, you know, I'm of Paul. 13, is Christ divided, Paul says? So talk about peace among one another, peace in the home. Is Christ divided? No, he's not divided. Then the issue is not with God, it's with us. Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. These are the only two that I baptized, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. It wasn't my thing. I was called to preach the gospel. But I'm kind of glad I didn't baptize a whole bunch of you, because there'd be a crowd of you saying, oh, we're of Paul, we're of Paul. Divisions. We have to be very, very careful. When you see divisions rising up in your home or in the house of God, you take a step back and you may take some time with Jesus. And you get on the same page with him, it'll change you. You can't change other people, but you can change you. And you know, 9 times out of 10, when you change you, it changes other people, how they respond to you. Because you become one at peace. You become approachable. See? I can see approaching Mary. I could. I don't think it's a good time to talk to Martha. Peace with others. Endearment should be practiced. Variance is called out. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then, another one, number 3, assistance is to be given. We see that in verse 3. We're back in Philippians 4, the main text. It says in verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. We're to give assistance to one another. Be a help. That'll squash a lot of discontent and issues. If you're a helper, if you care, you're willing to show compassion and assistance. Can I help you, brother? Can I help you? I know you're carrying a lot right now. I can see it. Can I help you? Assistance. Endearment. Variance is called out. Get on the same page. Unity. Assistance to be given. And look, fourthly, in verse 4, joyfulness is to be exhibited. Notice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Listen, if you have joy in your heart, tell your face. This goes a long ways in bringing peace among socially among us, one another. This doesn't. Unapproachable. Smiles. Happiness. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Does it show in your life? It should. These are one of the solutions here. When it talks about social, having peace socially. Number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What's moderation? It's self-control. It should prevail. You know, sometimes you need to be under control. Bite your tongue before you say what you want to say. Sometimes what we say, it comes out automatically from out of the flesh. And it doesn't gender peace. But not if we'll exercise some self-control, some moderation. It'll help a lot. It'll help a lot. And 9 times out of 10, that vigor and excitement, anger, will assuage by itself, given a little time. We need to be careful about that. Be under control. Bite your tongue at times. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Let's not be part of that. Let's not be that person in our home or in our congregation, in our church family. Let's be a big smile. Just smiling. Brother Tom, do you tell the choir, smile? I don't know how often you tell them that. I know Uncle Harold told them all the time. Smile. Why? Sends a message. It'd be good if we smile. If you've got to take some makeup and with the eyeliner there, just go like this. Then even if you're frowning, it looks like you're smiling. If it works, peace. Peace socially, peace horizontally. Those first five verses, I think, speak to that. I think in the next four verses, 6-9, speaks of peace with God. That's peace that's spiritual. There's peace socially, there's peace spiritual. The peace social was horizontal plane. Now we're talking about a vertical plane. Peace with God, see? Now, if you got saved, you have peace with God. The Bible tells us positionally at salvation, we become at peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled unto the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wonderful thing. I'm reconciled. He's my Father. I have peace with God positionally. But now there can be some things that disrupt that. Colossians 1:21 speaks to the same thing. And you that were, past tense, sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled you. See. So we're brought into peace with God positionally. But on the practical side of things, peace with God is to be sought by prayer and faith. And we see this in verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Be worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk with him. He's the source. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Comes back to him. He's the source. He's the source of peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time in prayer. See? With a thankful heart. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto him. Tell him what you're in need of. He knows, but he wants to hear. Don't tell him how to do it. Don't tell him if he'll fix this, do this, do that, whatever. It'll be okay. No, here's my need, Lord. Here's where I'm at. My faith. Remember, they were challenged. They were charged with not having enough faith. Where's your faith? I'm the source of peace. God will give you peace if you truly rely on him. I talk about that vertical relationship, peace with God. As Pastor Boyle used to say, don't worry, be happy. No, he said, don't worry, be hoppy. You get that from that reggae song. Don't worry, be happy. Did he sing it once or twice? Yeah. He could sing. I'd do it for you, but I'm not so good at singing. So pray regarding everything. So we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning me, he wants to hear from me. Pray with a thankful heart. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. And as you're rejoicing and being happy, let your face know so that others can be happy seeing your happy face. And then I notice in verses 8 and 9, this is another responsibility that we have. Because in verse 8, it's think right. And verse 9, do right. Notice, Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Can I tell you that spending 2 hours a day on Facebook is not thinking on good things? It'll fuel you. There's good stuff there, but it'll fuel you. You have to be very, very careful, very cautious. How much of that you put into you? How about spend a little more time with Jesus? There'll be more peace to be had. You'll be less distraught. Oh, I can't believe him. Oh, I can't believe her. That's not being happy. Kinds of worry and stress. How about changing what you think on? That's what he's telling us in Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. They'll help you. I don't know what you do. Seeking all the good there on Facebook, how you can skim over. And I see all the garbage and the trash. I think the devil wants your eyes to pick up all that stuff too. But you'd be no peace. Peace is thinking on these things. Thinking on good things. Keep that in mind. And then number 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Okay, so all the instruction you have gotten, and you've seen me, I've been an example, Paul says, do. Get involved. Do what I do, Paul says. There's peace to be had. Peace with your God. He'll put peace in your heart as you're serving him, as Paul did. And the peace of God shall be with you. I like that. 7 says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Verse 9, the peace of God will be with you. This peace of God thing, it's real. And it's available to the born-again believer. So we talked about peace horizontally, social affair, peace with others, peace with God, spiritual. That's vertical. And one last area, peace with life. I know these all tie in. But peace in life, circumstantially. The circumstances, we're not talking about people in particular. The things that happen. They can rob you of your peace and your joy. And I think we see that in verses 10 through 13. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last, your care of me hath flourished again wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, or I've learned what have stayed I am there be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We talk about Paul here facing stuff. Now you and I would never face the stuff he faced. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you read down through as he lists a number of things led by the Holy Spirit to put those in print. Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, whipped many, many times. All that he'd been through. So I think you can listen to this guy. If he finds peace amid all the circumstances he found himself in life, I guess we could in our own life. What circumstances are you facing right now got you troubled? He says, let not your heart be troubled. Paul relied on Jesus. He preached Jesus. He loved Jesus. Paul experienced God's peace and joy through the believers at Philippi while he was in prison even. Verse 10 and 18 speak to this. Notice he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care. He's speaking about that specific church family. Your care. You know how I said, we at times, we support many missionaries, but there's certain issues, certain needs that come up, and we send money to them extra. We help them. That extra care. They're thankful. Paul's being thankful here. Your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but lacked opportunity. I mean, he relied on them. Verse 18, but I have all in abound. He's in prison. And I am full, having received the Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You not only brought me joy and peace and providing for me, you are pleasing to God. Here he is in jail. He wrote the book, 4 prison epistles, these letters, this one included, Philippians. While in jail, Acts 16, 23 to 25 gives us the occasion. He says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So they're beaten, they're bleeding, they're not in one of our jails here in Cumberland County, three square meals, showers, and everything you need. No, they're not only in this jail, this dark and dank jail, they're put into the inner chamber and they're stalked. They're chained. The choir sang this morning a beautiful song about being unchained. The chains fall when you got saved. Literally, their feet are fastened to stocks. And verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas cried and boo-hooed. That's not what the Bible says, does it? Amidst all the stuff Paul went through, he knew peace, peace of God. It says that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Tough circumstances, yet there was joy, there was peace. There was peace amid his circumstances. What circumstances do you go through that compare to the circumstances recorded in the Word of God about Paul? Mine don't touch it. God's peace is always available. Our ability to access it is based on our maturity. Verse 11. Notice he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul, that great Christian, had to learn it too. So there was a progression in his spiritual Christian growth also. But he matured. And part of those circumstances were part of God's plan to mature him, to bring him to that place. And God has things that come into our lives. He allows them. Don't you care, Jesus? Martha said, I do care, Martha. Oh, Martha, if you knew, I allowed this to help mature you and help direct you to me. Sometimes we choose every other path. We choose how to get out of it. We're always consumed with the issues, the circumstances. And we fail to take the time to spend with Jesus, who allowed it in my life, allowed it in your life for a reason, that we might by faith grow and mature in the Christian walk. Paul says, I have learned. So if Paul had to learn it, I suppose you and I will have to learn it too. But how sweet it is to grab hold of it, to experience, to know true peace because of Jesus. You're not maturing. You're comparable to babies. Babies cry over nothing. Little kids cry over the simplest things. The whole world's coming in. Sometimes we're like children. We're not careful. We have to grow. God expects us to grow in the Lord. Peter told us that. His last words of his epistle. So as we grow, we mature. And like Paul, we can say, I've learned. That we might turn to others, our children, others, and encourage them in their hard times to grow in their relationship. Peace is to be found. Peace can be found. You can provide comfort because of the peace that you've learned. And then regardless of the ups and downs of life, there's peace and victory to be had in Jesus. Verses 12 and 13. Get ready to close now. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. 12, I'm sorry. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's peace to be had in that. It's not my strength. I'm going to have victory. And Jesus, he overcomes the world. There's peace to be had. It's always available. True peace. We have the responsibility to pursue it through faith and prayer. Peace throughout life's many challenges is to be had, providing we are maturing in our faith. And I'll close with this verse, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Who is that thee? Your mind is on him, and your trust is in him. Who is that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled.